Hello, podcast listeners. This episode you're about to listen to is from the 2022 Be More Digital Conference. If you like what you hear, why not join us at the 2023 conference? It is going to be held on the 9th of March 2023 at the Novotel London West Hotel. We would just love to see you there. Visit charitydigital.org.uk for more information on all things digital. Enjoy.
Started, and we are starting with a fantastic session, and I'd like to call to the stage our very first mini panel, where we're going to hear from Justine Curl, who's the Executive Director of Unseen UK. And Justine was the Justine, this is my French thing. Justine was the Modern Slavery Senior Policy Advisor in the Home Office, and she led the development of the Modern Slavery Act. So it will be absolutely fantastic to hear from her. And to interview her, we have Paul Matthews, who's the Senior Manager for Nonprofit Industry Solutions at Salesforce, but I hear has only recently joined the dark side and was actually in the charitable sector for a very long time before that. So Paul and Justine, if you wouldn't mind.
Thanks very much, Claire. It's very nice to see you all face-to-face. It's great to be back at a face-to-face conference, as Jonathan said. First of all, I'd like to wish you all a successful conference. I really hope you find the insights that you need to help you wherever you are in your digital journey. It would also probably be a little bit of an understatement to say the last few years have taught us that we live in changing and uncertain times, right? At the same time, as those stats showed, some of us, probably many of us in the room, have already seen how becoming more digital, embracing tech, and putting data at the heart of decision making can really help us change and adapt in uncertain contexts. As Claire said, I used to be a fundraiser. So I started at Salesforce earlier this year, but I was a fundraiser for 24 years. I started in the last century as a fundraiser. And when I first started, we were using simple DOS databases. We kind of ran to run a simple dashboard and fundraising report was quite tough. And we kind of had to wrestle with mail mergers to deliver what were essentially direct mail only onboarding journeys to bring in new supporters. And I seem to remember most of my time was spent wrestling with fax machines to get agency copies signed off before the deadline. Fast forward 20 years, and I was responsible for leading a global digital fundraising hub, recruiting supporters through digital channels only from most markets around the world. There I really found how having a good tech foundation could help my team thrive even during a pandemic, whether it was using business intelligence tools like Tableau to help us drive pretty much real-time insights to understand where we could best place our investment in digital acquisition channels, or using Marketing Cloud to drive automated and triggered journeys, which really inspired supporters, uplifted long-term value, while also driving time efficiencies for my team. There was lots of ways that tech really helped us in those uncertain times. But some of the most inspiring uses of tech I've seen is how the sector's starting to use it to drive programmatic impact. Non-for-profits we're seeing amongst our customers at Salesforce are really bringing together their programmatic data and using that joined up unified view to get and better understand stakeholder trends and also empower staff to better support the beneficiary in the best way. And that's why I'm really excited that we've got Justine with us, because she's one of our trailblazers in this area. And has been harnessing technology to improve their impact for a few years now. Would it be possible to move on to the next slide? We're going to start. Have I got a tick?
Good afternoon, Modern Slavery Helpline. How can I help? Can I quickly take your name and number just in case?
And how many people were there?
We have the victim's location.
We know the location, how many people, and we know where they're going.
Yeah.
The core mission of Unseen is to end modern slavery. We're trying to put ourselves out of business because we actually want to see this type of abuse and exploitation stop.
A young Indian man was being held in domestic servitude and forced labour, and he contacted the helpline one day and said that he wasn't allowed to leave, that his passport had been taken, and it took 3 to 4 calls for him to pluck up the courage. But on the 4th call, he was locked in his own bathroom with blood pouring from his head, and we immediately got the police to pull him out of that situation. We could all sit here and say, we would never get into that situation. But when you're vulnerable, you lose your house, you lose your job, you're more susceptible to exploitation because you start to become desperate.
I think the issue with it happens behind closed doors, very rarely in the public eye. And it's something that the public might see, but don't necessarily know the signs of.
It could be your neighbour. It could be on the street where you live, the nail bar that you attend, the car wash that you use. There are many reasons why people will not reach out for help and support. One is a fear of violence, also physical violence towards their families. It's really important to understand the real psychological controls that are used and maintained. People have had their decision-making taken away from them. Some of them are not even allowed to go to the toilet when they want to. That feeling that they're no longer a human being. It's really important that we do build trust and confidence through just listening to them, getting them to understand that we are here to support and help them.
And are you safe to speak at the moment?
There's always a challenge with people providing information because of fear of repercussions.
So I just had this email come in from the police.
We provide them with the assurances that we have a secure platform.
For victims that might be in a dangerous situation, it's important that they feel protected and that their confidentiality is respected. We store all of our raw notes within the system because it's secure and cloud-based. All of the data related to their situation of exploitation and all the people involved.
We analyze that data, we identify trends and hotspots.
Where are they being recruited? How are they being recruited? Demographics of exploiters, where they're from.
Part of the work that we're looking at within Unseen is how we bring all of that data together and work with other NGOs, work with law enforcement, and work with government.
Because we want to make sure that all those individual pieces are put together to inform systemic change.
We need to take responsibility for this issue, not only as people who work in the sector, but also as consumers. Are you paying too little for the types of goods or services that you're wanting to buy? Just asking that extra question so that you don't inadvertently start to fuel the issue of modern slavery. We really want to put ourselves out of business, and that's what our challenge is. And we know it will probably take more than a generation to do that, but we really think that we can end slavery in our lifetime.
Thank you very much for joining us, Justine. Justine's been travelling around the country quite a bit this week, so it's great that you can join us. Can I ask you to share a little bit more about your mission and how you drive impact?
Absolutely. Thank you. Really delighted to be here this morning. As you have just heard on the video, our mission really is to end modern slavery, and you know that's an extremely ambitious mission, but it's one that we fundamentally believe in. We do a lot of work with survivors face-to-face. We provide outreach support and accommodation, but we also do that through education as well. So we work with all of the statutory agencies and everybody at local and national government to really look at how we can end modern slavery and really start to make a difference to the lives of those who are trapped in exploitation. So the mission is fundamental. When I joined Unseen after having a very long civil service career, my challenge was to set up the Modern Slavery and Exploitation Helpline, which you've heard about already this morning. And part of that reasoning was because we knew that actually individuals were not able to get to the type of help and support that they really needed. Through setting up the helpline, we have created a really rich picture in terms of the data that we hold. And what I am always looking to do is to not only individually myself, but also for Unseen as an organisation, is to really put ourselves at the heart of the solution. So not to continue on this treadmill of just picking people up when they've been abused and exploited and they're extremely vulnerable, but also to look at ways in which we can utilise all of the different aspects that we undertake on a daily basis to actually look at how we can change that systemically, how we can work with UK governments, how we work with governments overseas, and then really look at how we can utilise data and technology to really get us to where we need to get to, which is ending the abuse and exploitation of vulnerable people.
It's a pretty inspirational mission. Can you say a little bit more about how you use technology to drive forward your impact?
Absolutely. So I've mentioned already about the data that we hold within our helpline. We also collect data from the survivors that we deal with in our safe houses and our outreach support services. So we get to know much more about them as individuals, the demographics, where they're coming from, how they got into that situation. And we knew that this rich picture was not being shared with others. So we embarked on a mission to identify what it was that we wanted to do from a systemic perspective, to actually look at the challenges that we had and then to look for funding to help us to really achieve that. We were really excited and delighted to land two big opportunities almost simultaneously. One was with the Tech Accelerator Programme, the Tech Against Trafficking, and that is led by a cohort of tech experts from some of the biggest companies, including Salesforce, Microsoft, Amazon Web Services. And at the same time, we were also successful on a programme called Tech for Good, which is related to comic relief. And that gave us the funding we needed to really bring in the technical capability, because we didn't have that technical capability internally. And I think that's a challenge for a lot of smaller organisations. So both going on that programme and having a clear understanding of what we wanted to do, how we wanted to utilise the data, and how we wanted to drive forward that systemic change, I think made it possible for us to be successful in both of those opportunities. And what that has created is a fantastic opportunity for us to share anonymised and sensitive data to really help to drive forward both the UK government's understanding of this issue, governments internationally, and I've been really privileged to support Canada and Australia and New Zealand, as well as the EU, around all of the kind of data capabilities, but also what's required from not only a domestic stage, but also a global stage as well. And we're really on that journey. We're by no means, you know, at the end of that journey. We want to continue. There are so many more things that we want to do, particularly in terms of really maximising and optimising the data we have, because ultimately, by doing that, we can support the prevention activities for law enforcement, for UK government, for other NGOs, not only within our sector, but also further afield, because we do deal with people who, you know, have other vulnerabilities, domestic abuse, other types of sexual violence. And so it's really about harnessing what we know and understand and how we can provide that to our kind of colleagues in the sector as well.
Thank you. And could you perhaps say a little bit more about where you mentioned in there about there's advancements that you want to make with moving with your data. Could you touch on that a little bit, where you're looking to move and develop?
Yeah, absolutely. So throughout the last 12 months, we've been focused on looking at our data and what we can do in that regard. So we did actually undertake user testing, and this is why maybe joining one of those programs was so important for us, because we got help and support in order to understand how we best do that. So we looked at internal user understanding and what requirements were needed, as well as those external user requirements as well. And that really helped us to have that clear vision about what we wanted to do. So we've done some great work over the last 12 months, anonymizing our data set so that we can share it with others, so those trends don't get lost. Obviously, we're dealing with really sensitive information, and we have to make sure that we can do that in a sensitive way. We're also looking at structured and unstructured data. So previously, we have been able to provide reports based on our structured data, but we knew that there was such rich information in the unstructured data that might link cases together, that might give us an understanding of the trends that we didn't know about without the ability to do that. So using machine learning and artificial intelligence to help us achieve that. And we're continuing on that journey. The next challenge for us really is, because we deal with so many different nationalities, we have so many individuals whose first language is not English. A big element of the work we do is actually providing translation services through our helpline. That's very costly. It's real time. We do it in the moment. Last year, we had over 80 different nationalities, and so that's a real challenge for us. So we're now looking at how we can, again, harness tech to support us on that journey in terms of translation, whether we can do that voice to text, whether we can do that in a written form, whether we can do that in real time with somebody on a call that's not able to speak to us in English or feels compromised because their first language is not English. So we're really continuing on that journey, looking at how we can maximise our data, looking at how we can make the user experience easier for those whose first language is not English, and quite frankly, those who, you know, fear confidentiality, want to be able to speak to us in a way that's non-confrontational. And by looking at translation services, we can do that over the next few months, hopefully.
Well, thank you very much for sharing. That's very inspiring to hear the respect that you have for your end users and the translation services in particular. I think we've only got a couple of minutes left, unfortunately. Can I ask, are there any main lessons you've had with your journey? If there was one or two things you'd like to share, that, you know, that typical question, what would you like to have known at the beginning?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's always an understanding that tech can help us. But I think for us, as well as I'm sure many other organisations, it's having that very clear vision about what you want to achieve. And I think by doing that, you can then go on that journey. And it's not an easy journey. As I said, we were really successful in securing those two opportunities. And I think that's a lesson for me. We needed that tech capability. We needed somebody to sit alongside us, but we also knew that we needed somebody internally that could help and support not only developing the tech capability, but then sharing that knowledge and understanding across the wider team. We're not tech experts by any stretch of the imagination, and we are still getting some tech support, and we will do on an ongoing basis. But I think I would say have that clear vision, look for other opportunities, because when you can articulate that clear vision within those opportunities, you've got much better chance of being successful. But never underestimate the amount of time this type of tech takes. We didn't have additional resource within our teams, so we had to make real decisions about the priorities that we wanted to take forward over the last 12 months. So we did mothball a few ideas and opportunities moving forward because we knew that this was absolutely fundamental. So I would say don't try and boil the ocean all at once. You know, really have a clear vision. Make sure that everybody in the organisation is behind you so you can really take that forward and achieve what you set out to achieve.
Thank you very much. So wise words, particularly on prioritisation and focus. That's key. I think, is that all we've got time for?
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast and found this content helpful and would like to attend the 2023 Be More Digital Conference, you can purchase tickets through the charitydigital.org.uk website today.
We hope you enjoyed this Charity Digital podcast. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed are those of the speakers and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of Charity Digital. The material and information presented here is for general information purposes only. Thanks for listening.